Well, good morning. It is February 3rd, 2023, and welcome once again to our daily Bible reading. Today, we are going to read two chapters in the book of Genesis. We're going to read chapters 35 and 36. We are then going to pick up in Mark chapter 6, Job chapter 2, continuing through that book, and then Romans chapter 6. So let's get into the word today. Genesis chapter 35 and chapter 36 this morning. Two chapters. Genesis 35. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." And so Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I have gone." And so they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had, and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which is near Shechem. And they journeyed, and as they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the city which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And so Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there, and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he had fled from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak, and it was named Alon Bakuth. And then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." And thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he also poured oil on it. And so Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when they were still some distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. And when she was in severe labor, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." And it came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Ben-Anoi, but his father called him Benjamin. And so Rachel died, and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is in Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And then Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Adar. And it came about, while Israel was dwelling in that land, that Reuben went out and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now there were 12 sons of Jacob, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, then Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maid, Dan, and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpha, Leah's maid, Gad, and Asher. And these are the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had journeyed. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, an old man of ripe age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now these are the records of the generation. This is chapter 36 now. These are the records of the generations of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, and the granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite. Also Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Naboth. Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah. And these are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. And then Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all his household and his livestock and all the cattle and his goods which he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to another land away from his brother Jacob, for their property had become too great for them to live together, and the land where they sojourned could not sustain them because of their livestock. And so Esau lived in the hill country of Seir. Esau is in Edom. These, then, are the records of the generation of Esau, the father of Edom, of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Esau's wife Adah; Reuel, the son of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. Timnah was a concubine of Esau's son Eliphaz, and she bore Amalek to Eliphaz. And these are the sons of Esau's wife Adah. These are the sons of Reuel: Nahath, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the sons of Esau's wife Basemath. These were the sons of Esau's wife Aholibamah, the daughters of Anah, and the granddaughter of Zibeon. She bore to Esau Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, the chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, chief Korah, chief Gatam, chief Amalek. These are the chiefs descended from Eliphaz in the land of Edom, and these are the sons of Adah. These are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, chief Nahath, chief Zerah, chief Shammah, chief Mizah. These are the chiefs descended from Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Esau's wife Basemath. These are the sons of Esau's wife Aholibamah, chief Jeush, chief Jalam, chief Korah. These are the chiefs descended from Esau's wife Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are the chiefs. And these are the sons of Seir, the Horite, the inhabitant of the land: Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishan, and Ezer, and Disan. And these are the chiefs descended from the Horites, the sons of Seir in the land of Edom. The sons of Lotan were Horai and Haman, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And these are the sons of Shobal: Alvan, Manahath, and Ebal, Shepu, and Ammon. These are the sons of Zibeon: Ai and Anah. He is the Anah who found the hot springs in the wilderness when he was pasturing the donkeys of his father Zibeon. These are the children of Anah: Dishan, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are the sons of Dishan: Hanan, and Eshban, and Ithran, and Charan. These are the sons of Ezer: Bilhan, and Zavan, and Akan. These are the sons of Dishan: Uz, and Aran. These are the chiefs descended from the Horites: chief Lotan, chief Shobal, chief Zibeon, chief Anah, chief Dishan, chief Ezer, chief Dishan. These are the chiefs descended from the Horites, according to their various chiefs in the land of Seir. Now, these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the sons of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of the city is Dinahaba. And then Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, became king in that place. Then Jobab died, and Husham of the land of the Temanites became king in this place. And then Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the field of Moab, became king in his place. And the name of the city was Avith. Then Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah became king in his place. Then Samla died, and Shual of Rehoboth of the Euphrates River became king in his place. And then Shual died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, became king in his place. And then Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar became king in his place. And the name of the city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabal, and the daughter of Matred, daughter of Mezahab. Now these are the names of the chiefs descended from Esau, according to their families and their location by their name: chief Timnah, chief Alva, chief Jeheth, chief Aholibamah, chief Elah, chief Pinyon, chief Kenaz, chief Teman, chief Mizar, chief Magidel, chief Iram. These are the chiefs of Edom, that is Esau, the father of the Edomites, according to their habitation in the land of their possession. That was Genesis chapter 35 and 36. Let's move on over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. And Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son, the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Jose, and Judas, and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his own relatives, and his own household." And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going out around the village teaching. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, "Do not put on two tunics." And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there, shake off the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them." And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And King Herod heard of it, for his name had become well known. And people were saying, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And that is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others were saying, "He is Elijah." And others were saying, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he kept saying, "John, who I beheaded, is risen." For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, and could not do so, for Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard of him, he was very perplexed, but used to enjoy listening to him. A strategic day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for the lords, his lords, and the military commanders, and his leading men in Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" And then she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And immediately she came in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oath and because of his dinner guest, he was unwilling to refuse her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in the prison, and brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his body, and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place, and rest for a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. And the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and is already quite late. And send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the 12 baskets of the broken pieces and also the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And he intended to pass by them, But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over the land, and when they crossed over, they came to the land of Genesaret and moored to the shore. And when they had got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those who were sick to the place they heard that he was. And wherever he entered the villages or city or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that he might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And then as many as touched it were being cured. And that was Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Let's move on over to our next reading today in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 this morning. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, then he will curse you to your face." And so the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life." And then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. And then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all of the adversity that had come upon him, they each came, one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And then each of them tore his robe, and they threw dust over their head toward the sky. And when they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very, very great. That was Job chapter 2. Let's move on over to our final reading today. We're going to pick up in Romans chapter 6 for our final reading. Romans chapter 6 today. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, as your members as instruments, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slave for obedience, you're a slave of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin and became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen to that. Praise God. Praise God for the free gift of eternal life, even though we deserved the wages for that sin. Praise God for that. But that said, thank you all so much for tuning in today to our Bible reading for February 3rd, 2023. Be sure to leave a comment or a reaction to this video, and I'll be sure to mark that down. If you're behind a couple days, make sure to catch up, you know, maybe listen to a couple of them in a day. And they're not super duper long. Today was a little longer of one, but we praise God for that. But yeah, stick with it. We are in the second month of Bible reading already, and that's an awesome, awesome thing. So stick with it, and let's do this throughout the entire year. Read the Bible every day. But that said, thank you all so much. Let's start our day with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for your grace. Lord, give us a good day in you. Lord, help us to remember the gospel. Help us to remember that free gift of eternal life that you granted to us in Jesus. May he get all the glory, Lord, as we try and live for you today. Give us a good one today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Try and stay warm today, everybody. See you tomorrow, Lord willing. Bye now.